Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
When Mike Trout signed his record-breaking contract with the Angels 2 years ago, some people were surprised. Because the best player in baseball was choosing to stay with a team that had only made the playoffs once in a decade and didn't look like it was getting a lot better anytime soon. Since then, things have arguably gotten worse, with the Angels finishing below 500 for the past two seasons.
1-2-3, the Angels are done. Dodgers 5-0.
And all of this has people wondering, could Trout's loyalty be costing him a shot at a World Series title?
The Angels are a generic kind of baseball team. Could you imagine if he was in New York or in L.A. playing center field?
I feel you on that.
Today, The Athletic's Fabian Ardaya on Mike Trout's commitment to the Angels, the questions around his will to win the World Series, and whether the Angels are finally building a contender around him. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andrew Skelto. It's Wednesday, April 21st, and this is The Lead. So Fabian, you recently wrote about the day that Mike Trout signed his historic deal with the Angels back in 2019. Can you take us back to that day and that ceremony outside Angel Stadium?
Ladies and gentlemen, how are we feeling today?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big day. And so they had fans there. They had a lot of people who were sort of lining up more than an hour before. Really a packed house. As you walked into the ballpark that day, you could see like just sort of everything was littered with Mike Trout's face, the photo, and the word loyalty was above his head.
This unprecedented contract is a statement of commitment, a commitment to the organization, a commitment to winning. This is a story of loyalty.
Mike, he got a little bit emotional.
I love you guys. Thanks for all the support. Ooh. I'm losing it.
The idea of like knowing that he was sort of where he wanted to be for the rest of his career, it's something that became a little bit real.
My teammates and coaches, I want to thank you guys. You guys push me hard every day. You keep me humble, you know. You let me know when I'm wrong.
I think he talked a lot about wanting to win and do so in Anaheim.
You guys have been unbelievable, and I want to bring a championship back to Anaheim. Let's go, baby.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of loyalty that goes into that, and obviously, it's a big part of everything we've known about Mike Trout since the moment he really burst onto the scene. I mean, the fact that he's had one agent his entire career, he married his high school sweetheart. I mean, he still lived at his parents' house for years after he won an MVP award. So, like, this is everything we've known about this guy, and all of a sudden, here he is staying for the richest contract in baseball history.
Well, Fabian, you recently did a long interview with Mike Trout, and among other things, you talked about his past. What did you learn about the way that his family and his upbringing have sort of shaped him?
I mean, he's sort of the same Mike Trout that he's been since he was a kid. And I think that's goes back to like how he was raised.
You know, being loyal and respectful is, you know, how I was brought up. You know, always respect people, and obviously respect and loyalty are, you know, pretty close.
His hometown still means a lot to him. He built a house out there in the winters, which anyone who willingly wants to spend winters in New Jersey, obviously that means that you have a connection to the area. And I mean, that's where he met his wife. I mean, that's where he still feels like he can have a chance to be Mike.
When I go back to Jersey, it's kind of like I'm a baseball player and I'm in the big leagues and people get that, but they treat me as just another human being. And I think that's big to me.
He wants to be good to the people who are good to him. And that's something that he's continued to do even now as he's the best player in the game. I've written about in the past where he sort of has a tradition where every spring, right before spring training, he would show up to his old high school. And instead of having his number one jersey retired, he would go back, meet the new captains, the new senior captains each year, and give the number to them. And I think his childhood and the ability to help others is something that has been ingrained in him from a really early age, and doing so just because it's the right thing to do and not because it's sort of the thing that makes him look the best.
So no one seems to question Mike Trout's willingness to do the right thing or his loyalty. But some people have questioned how badly Mike Trout really wants to win a World Series, perhaps because of his decision to re-sign with the Angels when he could have basically gone anywhere he wanted. What are your thoughts on that, Fabian? As you spoke to people from his past and people who work with him today, what did you learn about Mike Trout's competitive nature?
Yeah, well, his high school baseball coach, Roy Hollenbeck, wanted to show people, it's like, it's hard to really show how competitive a guy is when he's standing out in center field all the time. So what he would tell scouts was just sort of go watch him in a basketball game.
You know, he's at the time 6'1", maybe pushing 6'2", and he played center for our basketball team. And he would, you know, jump center against 6'6", 6'8" guys.
And you sort of just saw him scrap and rebound and dunk over guys. And he was a guy who was dunking at a pretty young age. Like, obviously, he's a very good athlete, but like, just to see him compete against guys who are 3-4 inches taller, probably have a little bit of weight on him, and he held his own.
Diving into the bleachers and getting on the floor, you know, running over, helping his teammates up. I mean, the competitiveness. Watch that kid play basketball.
Like, he's a really competitive guy, and he will try to win at just about anything. Michael Kahn, who was a former Angels reliever, Mike offered to have him stay at his house in Huntington Beach over the course of the shutdown. And part of that time, like, they just kill time doing all kinds of these competitions.
Golf ball, ping pong, hitting contest, see who could beat somebody quickest to somewhere. I mean,
Michael Kahn told me, like, Mike Trout won 50 straight games of Scrabble and stuff like that. Like, he would try to do whatever he can to win.
He's just one of those guys that, you know, if you challenge him deep down, he'll just basically, you know, give you that look and just say, you know, I'll show you how good I am.
And you can sort of see, like, the viral Topgolf shot he hit last spring. Albert Pujols' charity golf event in Scottsdale, Arizona during spring training last year. All kinds of Major League Baseball players were there. Justin Turner was there. Cody Bellinger was there. I mean, you can sort of see, like, everyone sort of wants to sort of one-up each other because these are really competitive guys. And you see Mike Trout sort of step up to the tee, and he sort of, like, looks back and is like, watch this. And he takes a swing. You can sort of see the ball almost, like, vaporize. It just goes. And they've confirmed since that the ball went not just to the back net, it went over the back net, which would be more than a 300-yard drive. That just goes to show not just, like, the talent, the physical gifts that this guy has, but also the fact that he's going to want to win by any means necessary, no matter what it is.
You think the fact that he's just kind of like a down-to-earth, kind of regular guy, and doesn't have necessarily the most, like, showy personality, do you think that that leads to more criticism or suspicion about how competitive he really is? Like, is his personality a little bit the cause of these claims that maybe this guy doesn't really want to win that badly?
I think that maybe that's part of it. The fact that he won't go out and, like, trash the organization or say, hey, like, this is ridiculous. We need to clean this up. We need to win. He's been asked every which way you can, just sort of, like, setting him up for the opportunity to do so, and he hasn't done it.
You talked about talking to Artie and John, owner and president, and a new direction that was enticing to you. Short of, hey, we're going to try better to be better, what goes into that idea, Mike?
Yeah, obviously been here when we were good in 14, and I've been, you know, part of that team since.
That doesn't mean that he hasn't talked about or discussed ways to move forward, but he's not going to badmouth the organization. That's just not what he's about. He doesn't think that you can really get much positive done out of that.
So in speaking with all these people from Mike Trout's past and from your own interviews with him, Fabian, how badly does Mike Trout want to compete for a World Series title?
I think he definitely wants to. He very badly wants to. He understands that, like, the narrative is out there on him.
Imagine if the greatest player of his generation, arguably of all time, never got to burnish his legacy with indelible postseason moments.
And obviously, it's not a Mike Trout failing, it's an Angels failing. But he understands that this is something that's attached to him.
Well, it's happening in baseball. It's happening to Mike Trout.
And he wants to win. Like, he just wants to do it, and he wants to have that experience because, I mean, he's done pretty much everything else. I mean, he's won multiple MVPs. He's already on his way to all these sort of all-time lists. And only thing that's missing is a chance to actually win in the postseason.
I think bringing the championship to Anaheim is obviously, it is one of my goals. I signed a long-term deal for that reason. I feel like we can do that. You know, we had our ups, we had our downs, but, you know, hopefully this year we can turn around.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Well, Fabian, the Angels are off to a pretty solid start this season. What have you seen from Mike Trout and the team on the field so far?
Well, Mike Trout is off to one of the best starts he's had in his career.
It normally.
High fly ball, deep left field. Oh, 27 does it again.
He made some adjustments to his swing, and he finally feels like he's really locked in, and he's performed as such.
That's all his power to go that far. Gets that foot down and short and lifts it way out to left.
And you're starting to see that this team has more talent around him than maybe in years past. They signed Anthony Rendon, and he's someone who the Angels believe they can build around. You've seen Shohei Ohtani take steps forward.
The expectations are just enormous. We got a taste of it in 2018.
Mike Trout is the most important player to the Angels, for sure. But the guy who can single-handedly swing the Angels' season is Shohei Ohtani.
Here's the 2-2. Got him to chum on that splitter.
Last season was so difficult for him. He was trying to come back off Tommy John surgery. He didn't look right at all. And he's come back. His stuff looks better than it was in 2018 when he first came over as a rookie. And then at the plate, he's hitting the ball hard more frequently than he ever has.
First pitch swinging.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Oh, man! Lean into it!
He's a guy who's an elite level hitter and a guy who, when he's healthy, can be an above average starter. And I think those things combined, if he can stay healthy over the course of a full season, this is a guy who in his own right could probably sneak into some MVP discussions.
Here's what Shohei Ohtani has already accomplished tonight. He has thrown the fastest pitch this opening weekend, and he has the hardest hit by any player this opening weekend.
Pitching has really been the thing that has cost the Angels in years past. Their pitching staff has been historically bad the last 5 years. So I think you're seeing a lot more depth throughout the organization. And that sort of gives you the window of if you have a team that can be at least close to 500 on its own, and then you add Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon and Shohei Ohtani having star-level performances, then all of a sudden you really have something you can compete with.
Well, the Angels traditionally haven't been seen as the most cutting-edge baseball organization. You know, they haven't had the best farm team historically. They've been a bit slow to embrace the analytics movement, and they haven't spent as much as some of their rivals. Do you think this organization is now showing a commitment to giving Mike Trout and company a real shot at winning?
I think it's interesting to see. I mean, This has happened, obviously, over multiple regimes. He got drafted under Tony Riggins. He came up under Jerry DePoto. And then he sort of established himself as one of the best starts in big league history under Billy Epler. And each of those guys sort of had different philosophies. Now, this is Perry Minassian's first year as general manager. I think it's still obviously very early in Perry Minassian's tenure to sort of get a gauge on what widespread wholesale changes he's going to make. It winds up coming down to commitment from ownership to sort of dedicate to that farm system, to analytics. Obviously, they share a market with the Dodgers, but the Angels haven't spent the same way the Dodgers have. They are not seen in that same sort of class. I think part of that comes down to if they are willing to try to close that gap, not just in terms of payroll, but also player development, staffing, front office staffing. If they are willing to try to do that, then they can try to build something that's sustainable around Mike Trout for the next decade.
And lastly, Fabian, if Mike Trout does manage to bring a World Series title to Anaheim, do you think it'll be that much sweeter to him because of the loyalty that he has chosen to show this team?
Yeah, and I think he's been through it. He's been through 90 lost seasons. He's been through multiple manager changes, multiple general manager changes. He's grown up in this organization from the time he's 17 years old till now. He's going to be 30 soon.
They raised me, you know, when I was a 17-year-old kid out of Millville in the farm system. They know who I am.
He's had personal life changes over the course of that time. I mean, he got married. He became a father. He grieved the loss of his brother-in-law and then loss of his teammate, Tyler Skaggs. Like, he's had a lot of life that's been lived with that organization. So having a chance to have that sort of pinnacle in a place where so much of this has happened, I feel like for anybody, that would mean that much more.
Well, Fabian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You can read Fabian Ardaia's full story about Mike Trout and follow all of his Angels coverage at theathletic.com. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andrew Skelto. See you tomorrow.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect forever.